can't think of one off the top of my head, but I feel like that.
I only listened to a couple, and I know exactly what all those people look like.
Oh, well, maybe. But I didn't know if like you wanted your face on the internet, like with
to be like anonymous.
Yeah.
I don't care. My face is already on Facebook and Instagram, and it's not like I am under like an alias.
That's true.
I guess my have I ever said my last name?
No. And I don't know if I plan on ever saying last names, like, ever. Unless we get, like, super famous, and then, sure. Know what I do.
I guess I don't care one way or the other. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me either.
Are we going to talk about what movie you picked?
Yeah. Okay. So, tonight on Slasher Movie Review, we're going to be going over Midnight Meat Train.
Yay.
Yeah. Not a porno. Not one, which shocked me the first time I heard the title.
When someone
movie,
said, hey, you should watch Midnight Meat Train.
I was.
And you're like, we're at work. This was inappropriate.
And then they said Bradley Cooper and Vinnie Jones were in it. And I was like, okay, go on. Like,
tell me more.
But no, tonight we're going to be going over Midnight Meat Train. It was the first time I saw this movie was actually July of last year.
I'd never heard of it. It came out in
2008.
Okay.
Yeah, and so my supervisor, and I'm doing a shout out to my supervisor right now, Jamie. She's super cool and into all sorts of scary movies and stuff, and she loaned me the movie and I watched it. And I was like, this is the bloodiest movie I've seen in quite some time. It's just, there's a lot.
I don't know. I've watched so much gore that, right. Like, is it? It is pretty gory.
It's pretty gory, yeah. But it's almost like comic book gory.
Yeah, because the like special effects are kind of comic booky.
Yeah.
I really like the opening scene.
Yes.
A lot.
Which, we'll just go right in here. The opening scene is the last scene. So, you know, when the guy is in the train and he sees...
You know what? I thought that guy looked familiar, so I can see why that's like that.
So, the opening scene starts off with... I'll go into the director and stuff in a minute. But the opening scene starts off with this guy... He fell asleep on the train and he wakes up and there's blood everywhere and he goes and looks in the other train car. And he goes and looks in the other train car and you don't see the murderer's face, but you see the murderer like slamming a big meat tool.
A meat hammer?
Yeah. Do you want to take over? Because words are hard tonight. A meat hammer, and you don't see his face, and then
it's like a tenderizing hammer, right?
Yes. Mike a just meat like tenderizer. Looked over and was like, yes. Yeah.
Because it's flat on one side, but then
but
it's got
huge.
Like...
huge. Do they use like that big of a meat tenderizer in slaughterhouses and stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no idea. I have like a little baby one of those at home.
I don't even think we have one here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well.
How do you do your, like, Swiss steak? Or don't you?
Like a rolling pin?
It's not the 70s.
It's not the 70s. Thanks, Mike.
Swiss steak is good.
But anyway, yeah, first scene and last scene hooked together. It was directed by, and I'm going to butcher this name. I even watched or listened to a pronunciation of the name, and I still, ooh, this is going to be rough. Ryuhei Kutamura.
Let me see it.
Yeah.
Show me.
And he's done a lot of scary movies. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think you did okay.
I think so.
You did
too.
Better than I could have.
And so Midnight Meat Train is based on Clive Barker's short story, The Midnight Meat Train, which is in volume one of the Book of Blood. Books of Blood?
And I have no idea.
And he did. That's okay. I'm kind of
sure.
Looking at you. Yeah.
That sounds right.
And so Clive Barker, really great scary short story novelist, and he did a he's done a lot, like Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to point out that I am not a professional, so people listening in on this, Clive Barker is a genius, and that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know that much either. I made it to grade 12.
Yeah, that's it. So the premise of this movie is Bradley Cooper, who plays Leon, the main character, is an aspiring photographer in New York City, but I think a lot of the scenes were shot in LA, if I remember correctly. And so he's an aspiring photographer who wants to photograph the dark side of the city. And, he becomes obsessed with the killer, Vinnie Jones, also known as Mahogany in the movie.
I love that.
I know. I love it, too.
That's in my notes. I wrote Mahogany, ? And then little hearts around it.
Yeah. yeah. We're weird.
What a cool name, though.
Yeah. And so he really wants to try to capture the essence of the city, and he just becomes obsessed with Mahogany and the killings and stuff. And do you want me to do like the whole rundown of the movie and then,
and I just sit here quiet?
I mean, you want me to,
I don't care.
Okay.
Let's see. What did I write? Oh, yeah, I like the beginning where he wakes up in blood, and then I wrote Bradley Cooper. Meh.
Well, and it was, I know. Bradley Cooper, it was before The Hangover, so it was before he really got to Bradley Cooper status.
What about Wedding Crashers? Wasn't he in that?
No. That was he? Oh,
he
yeah,
played
Mike
the...
gave the thumbs up, the douchebag guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that. What year did Wedding Crashers come out?
I have no idea.
Before The Hangover, for sure.
This is out of my realm of notes.
Okay, cool. So Leslie Bibb plays his girlfriend Maya, and Leslie Bibb is also,
what did he write?
He said 2002. 2005.
So that came out. So he was like.
You knew who he was as a douchebag in Wedding Crashers, I think.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
We're going to forget something major because I have friends that are big time Bradley Cooper fans, and they're going to be like, he was in this, he was in this. All you remember him for is Wedding Crashers.
And that is going to happen, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I have a comment about their apartment.
Oh, okay.
So his girlfriend is a waitress and he's a photographer, yet they have like this real cute apartment.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
It's like, yeah. It's like a lot of TV shows where people have like crazy big apartments and like what one of
like
them's
House Hunters.
Yeah.
It's like House Hunters.
Ugh. But anyway. Anyway, Leslie Bibb plays his girlfriend. And then Roger Bart, who plays Jurgis, is Maya's friend, who's artsy fartsy, like one of those types of people. And Bradley Cooper really wants to make it big in the photography scene, whatever. And so Jurgis gets him set up with an appointment with this big art person. She's an art connoisseur. She owns, like, I know.
This big art person.
This big art person, played by Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
And I kind of blame her for all of the shit that happens.
Well, it's because she pressures him into taking, like, darker, more disturbing photos.
Yeah.
So that's what pressures him into taking the first photo and then kind of stalking Mahogany.
Yeah. I am forever just going to call him Vinnie Jones. It's like I was replaying some of the stuff on what I was going to say, and I was like, oh, and Bradley Cooper does this instead of Leon.
I think that's perfectly fine.
Okay, cool. So, Brooke Shields kind of pressures him into doing all this stuff. You know, you have to be brave. You have to get darker photographs. And I just want to say, his girlfriend puts up with a lot of shit because he is out all hours of the night trying to find dark shit.
Really? Because I think that I don't think she's very understanding. Like, because she doesn't really put up with it.
I think she is more scared that he's going to get killed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because he, the first time he catches a glimpse of Vinnie Jones is when he's in the stairs going down to the train, and there are these guys trying to assault this girl.
Yeah.
And
do you think the main guy, the one that he like lures up to him, do you think he looks like Rufio?
Mm-hmm. And I should have looked into it more because who knows, like it might have been him.
I did.
Ooh.
No, Rufio would have been, Rufio's, for one, he's 45.
Oh,
yeah. So he's 45 and he would have been 33 then.
Okay.
When this came out.
Yeah, so.
And that, Cab's not. The guy in the subway looks a lot younger.
Yeah.
Like early 20s.
So Bradley Cooper stops this assault and the girl's like, oh my God, thank you. And then she gets on a train.
Well, she kisses him.
Yeah.
Which I kind of thought.
I would understand.
Yeah.
Not being a married woman, but if I were single.
And Bradley Cooper saved you in the subway, Bradley you'd probably Cooper. Lay one on him.
Mike did not look out for that one. He shuts the door. Fuck you. But yeah, she gets in the train and Bradley Cooper snaps a picture of her looking back and you see Mahogany's hand with that ring.
Yeah, he has a very unique ring.
Mm-hmm. And then the next day, Bradley Cooper sees the... What?
You're not going to talk about her dying?
Yeah.
I'll talk about her dying. Okay.
You do
so
that.
So she sits down on the train. So she almost got mugged or attacked or whatever by these guys. Cute Bradley Cooper comes in and saves her. So she's, you know, things are looking up. This random guy, like, helped her out.
She's
well,
in the
then
clear.
She's, like, going to the train, and someone holds the door for her. I mean, he's going to kill her, but he still holds the door. So she's thinking, okay, night's looking up. So she sits down, she puts in earbuds, and she's, like, listening to some nice music, and she just looks kind of happy. And then Vinnie Jones and his meat hammer come up behind her. Meat hammer.
Yeah, that's okay.
We're going to meet Tenderizer. Hammer. We'll just say hammer.
Say
it doesn't
hammer.
Have to be a meat hammer.
Right.
He comes with this meat hammer.
Just hammer. He comes up with a hammer.
He comes up with a hammer and just bashes the side of her head.
Oh, God. That
like,
poor woman.
One hit. But out of all the other people he kills, like, that's pretty...
I would rather go that way than...
Like I said, she's having an okay night. A guy just saves her. Then this other guy holds a door for her. She sits down, okay. Starts listening to music. Like, okay, you know, life's looking up. And then hammer to the side of the head. So she had no idea. She didn't see it coming.
No. That's probably, out of all of the deaths in this movie, I think that one is probably the most tame.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's... I mean, if you're going to go...
Right.
Like, not paying attention at all.
So,
anyway... Continue.
And that night, too, when Bradley Cooper goes back to his apartment, he has a dream of... I can't remember what the dream was, and I just watched it again today.
He has, like, a flash... Because I wrote that down because I thought it was really cool. There's, like, a flash of the train, and it kind of has, like... and it has, like, a negative imagery kind of thing, so the blood isn't... red, it's kind of like weird looking, and I thought it was cool. And then under that I wrote, was the meat train calling him?
And
like, was he destined for that?
I think so too. I think he was definitely like fated to be the next in line to take over.
You think so?
I think so for sure.
I didn't know if it was either his just destiny or if it was because he saw Vinnie Jones.
But and a lot of people see him sitting in the subway all night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like those kids that sell him candy.
I know. They lucked out. Holy shit.
Yeah, right?
Ugh.
Why were they on the train so late? Oh, it was during the day.
Where are their parents?
It was just when Bradley Cooper was following him around being weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Bradley Cooper, weird dream, wakes up the next day, sees that this woman is missing, and she's like a famous model. So he goes to the police And I don't know the police officer's name. She's just going to be a police officer. That's fine.
She looked really familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think the when he had the dream about the train and the hooks and everything.
Yeah.
That, in my notes anyway, it's before he saves that girl.
Is it?
So that's even weirder then.
That is weird.
Because he dreams about the subway and then he goes down into the subway. And okay. Did he take Vinny's picture before that? And that's what brought him there probably the next night? That makes sense.
That sounds right.
Okay.
So he goes to the cops and is like, hey, I took a picture of, like, I saw that girl before she died. Like, you need to follow up with these guys that were roughing her up and stuff. And the police officer is just like, well, what were you doing down there? And I just have to make a comment about how suspicious all of these police officers are in scary movies. Why are they always like, well, you are the killer? Or you were fucking around?
It's kind of foreshadowing, too, because she...
She ends up being in on it.
Well, yeah, but she... That's the part that I'm explaining is foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yep.
Because she asks if he sold any of those photos.
Because he could make a lot of money.
Yeah. So she said, oh, have you sold any of these? Or, you know, you could make a lot of money on these because she's a model.
Yeah.
And that's her kind of like snooping, like, who knows about this? Like, who knows that she disappeared in the subway?
Well, and I'm sure if he would have sold those to the tabloids, that hand, like Vinnie Jones' hand with the ring would have been exactly all over. That's a good point.
So people would have been looking for that ring.
Right. And she is wearing a necklace.
Later on, though. Not in that scene, because when I watched it again, I looked. So the ring is kind of like a star pattern.
It has like 10 points on it or 9 points or something.
Yeah, and it's kind of like nautical looking.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a nautical compass, but with more points. Mm-hmm. And then, so he's wearing that ring and it's very, they make it very obvious that that's like his ring.
Yeah.
And then later on, at the police station, the officer that he talked to, that he was like kind of reporting things to, is wearing a pendant of the same.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, oh, what kind of like weird club is this? Like, what's happening?
It's super weird, and it gives you definite like ominous vibes throughout the entire movie.
And I also, so I wrote this down too, how would that not be like a New York urban legend? Like, well, don't ride the train after 2 a.m. or you'll disappear.
Like, you hear about the urban legends with, like, the alligators and stuff in the sewer and all of that stuff. But, yeah, and there are so many missing people.
Yeah. So when Bradley Cooper is having, like, his breakdown later on, he has all the pins in that map, all these people that have disappeared. And I understand the police would cover it up, like the ones that were in on it. But to what extent?
You can only cover up so many missing people.
And, like, if it was one of my friends, you know, okay, they were at such and such bar, they would have been on this train going home, and then they vanished, and people saw them at the bar, so they had to disappear, you know, somewhere in that area. So if that happened, then me being a friend, like, oh, my, you know, somebody disappeared, then I would start looking into it, too.
Yeah.
So is it, like... Everyone that looks into it also gets murdered?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of murder people dying.
So next up, I have like the next set of kills where Vinnie Jones, there's the three people and the woman doesn't want to be on the train.
This is my favorite one.
Well, woman. Of course. The woman's your favorite one?
The woman's my favorite one.
She doesn't want to be on the train that late at night. The one guy's like, oh, I do it all the time. It's no big deal. You know, it's clean and safe. And the guy that she's with was like, okay, we're going to walk. The next stop, we're walking. Well, then the train doesn't stop.
There is no next stop.
And then the woman sees Vinnie Jones, like, stand up and, like, unpack his bag. Mm-hmm. And he has his hammer and... smashes the one guy first, right?
Yeah, and the
eyeballs like,
fly out. Yes. The eyeballs fly out, and then the friend freaks out, and he gets his head smashed in. And then the woman falls in all of this blood and so much blood. Just an obnoxious amount of blood. And she's like
more than what would actually be there.
And she was like crawling around on the bottom of the car or whatever. And Vinnie Jones just comes up and like decapitates her with the force of the blow to her head.
And then you see it from her eyes looking back at her decapitated body.
Yeah.
And it's freaking nasty. Like it was cool the way they did it though.
It was super cool, and I liked how it was her perspective.
Yeah.
Of how she died too. Like you see her hands like crawling on the car and then roll over, and there's Vinnie Jones with a huge hammer. I almost said meat hammer.
I knew it. I could see you like,
but yeah, that's my favorite kill in the whole movie.
Oh, I really looked up Hotel Barclay because I wanted to see if it was a real place.
Is it a real place?
Yes, it's called the Intercontinental, the Barclay, and it has like reasonable prices.
Okay. The Barclay is where Vinnie Jones's character stays.
Yeah.
I imagine it's like an extended stay or...
The pictures of it online make it look like a nicer end hotel, not like what it was. So it like the filming obviously wasn't in that hotel because the hotel is really nice and brightly colored and everything inside. And,
oh, okay.
And his place looks kind of dingier, like an extended stay.
It's perfectly clean. Like it's super clean on the inside though, but it looks...
just a little rundown. Not like the hotel in Basket Case.
No.
It's classier than that.
Serial killers staying in hotels in big cities. Man. And then I'm trying to think of the next thing.
Oh, this was a problem that Greg and I both had. Yes. So back in olden times when you would develop your own film, film is what they used to put in cameras for pictures.
What?
Yeah. It's mind-blowing. You could only take 24 at a time. And you didn't know what they looked like for like a week. Anyway,
I think so I know what you're going to say.
Bradley Cooper's developing his own photos in his apartment. And the window curtains are cracked. So daylight is like blasting in. And that will ruin your photos.
Yeah, and he has no dark room.
No, it's not a dark room.
No.
Yeah, he's just developing them in his apartment and the windows aren't even shut all the way. And Greg and I were both like, what the fuck? Like, we both took photography in high school where we had to wind our own film and develop everything ourselves. And
what archaic.
I know. This was the 90s.
Yeah.
So, a while ago.
Oh, those were the days.
But yeah, so watching that, because Greg said something right in the beginning. He's like, why does he have his photo enlarger in the kitchen? Yeah. And then, you know, then he's developing all this stuff in the kitchen, but daylight's coming in.
Yeah.
That's a big no-no.
That's weird. I guess I didn't notice that, but I didn't take...
It came out in 2008, so how many people are going to be watching it and saying, no, that's not how... it works.
Right.
Old people.
Old people. People that took photography in high school and not using cell phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just imagine how much easier it would have been if he just would have had a cell phone the whole time instead of an actual camera.
But
maybe the same shit would have happened. Never mind.
He's still taking pictures of Vinnie Jones and Vinnie Jones is still getting pissed about it.
Yeah. As you would.
Yeah. If somebody was following you around.
Yeah. So I can't remember how he puts it together that it's Vinnie Jones or Mahogany. I think he sees the guy coming out of the train station at night.
Yeah, that's like the first time. That's like when he goes to the subway, he sees Vinnie Jones come out of it and is just like captivated with him for some reason. So he takes pictures of him, then starts following him.
Yeah.
And
Vinnie Jones knows what's going on. Like, yeah. He knows he's being followed.
Yeah, because...
the entire time.
He walks around the corner and stops. So when Bradley Cooper rounds the corner, he's, like, 4 feet away from him.
Yeah. And Vinnie Jones does not talk the entire... He only says one thing at the end.
I didn't think he said anything.
Yeah. At the...
Okay, we'll just...
We'll just continue.
Continue. We'll get there eventually.
So he's following Vinnie Jones around, and Vinnie Jones is getting a little suspicious. And so it turns out that Vinnie Jones works at a meatpacking place. And so Bradley Cooper, like, what is he doing with his days? Is he just straight up obsessed with this dude and following him around all day and night?
Well, it's because he gets the idea, which the right idea, that he's the murderer, right, and wants to, like... I don't know, stalk him because the police aren't doing anything. So, yeah, he goes into the meatpacking plant and puts on, like, a coat and hard hat and just walks in and starts fucking taking pictures.
That's not how...
Anything works.
Anything works. Like, they would have stopped him and somebody at the meatpacking plant would have been like, hey, you don't work here. You're not Joe or Frank.
You would think, exactly.
And he's blatantly walking around with a camera. Like, he tries to be a little quiet about it, but...
It's not like a spy camera. It's like a regular camera.
And so Vinnie Jones turns around as he's taking pictures. Ugh. And it's the creepiest... I think it's one of the creepiest.
Well, he's got, like, a big giant knife, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and he's, like, hacking apart this cow or whatever. And he turns around, and Bradley Cooper's like, oh, fuck. And, like... Vinnie Jones chases him throughout the meatpacking plant and through one of the big cooler with, like, rows of cow carcasses. And, like, what was Vinnie Jones going to do there? Was he going to kill him there?
I don't know. I don't know. But when I found out, this is just, like, one of my, like, weird extra things. When that happened, when I found out that he worked at the meat plant, mm-hmm, and then Brad Cooper's kind of, we should really be calling them by their movie names.
It's okay.
Anyway,
it's our podcast.
So Brad, when he finds out, like, that's where he works, I kind of had the idea that the people were being butchered for, like, cannibals. Like, I thought, yeah, he worked for, like, this is my own. I'm just going to start writing my own movies.
Yeah.
I thought that he, because he's very polished. Like, he wears this, Mahogany wears, like, a suit. He has, like, a leather satchel that he keeps all his stuff in.
Everything is very perfect.
Yeah, everything's really precise when he, butchers the people, because not only does he kill them, then he, like, strips them down naked and, like, hangs them up from their feet. I think I had this idea that he was doing that and then selling them to, like, super rich cannibals.
Like, in, have you seen iZombie on Netflix?
Yeah.
Where they're, like, the people that harvest brains and sell them for... Super high price.
They're harvesting brains to sell to zombies.
To super rich zombies.
Okay, so maybe that just carried over from iZombie.
That's okay.
Because I like that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had this idea that there was this, like, elite group of super rich people that were cannibals.
I could see that.
You could see it going in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he looks like he has a lot of money.
Yes.
Like,
even though he's staying in what they kind of make out to be, like, I don't know. Because in New York, you know, stuff's expensive.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a suite. Like, he's got a bathroom, bedroom, living area.
Yeah. I want to know, where do all of the fucking clothes go? Where do all of the clothes go? Because you see in one of the scenes...
They put them in little bags.
They put them in little bags. Where is it? Where are all of the clothes?
And people would have personal items too, like rings, watches.
Does he sell them?
Earrings.
Is that how he's paying?
I mean, that might be how he pays for everything. Mm. But eventually someone would catch on to you if you were, like, constantly pawning jewelry and phones and...
Yeah.
But there'd be people that would be in on it.
These are like the thoughts that I had during this movie.
Like, if the police are in on it, then there would be pawn shops that would be in on it. Like, there'd be a whole network.
Yeah. Like the black market of Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, so... What is Vinnie Jones cutting off of his chest?
I don't know. So, in the movie, Vinnie Jones, like, you see, there's a scene where he's in the bathroom cutting off, like, polyps.
They do look like...
something.
Yeah, polyps is, like, the best
and
word.
And he's keeping them in jars. And I really need to know what they are.
At first, in my notes, I put, what is he cutting off his chest? And I said, souls? Like, maybe for every person he kills, he gets these little bumps. But then it would make more sense, because he had them all over, like, his shoulder and neck. Mm-hmm. So he just cuts a few off and puts them in a jar. Maybe he, for everyone he kills, he cuts some of those off. So maybe it's like a quota.
That is a good theory.
So you could only have like one or two, you kill one or two people and then cut them off. But since he's aging in it and kind of like wearing out.
He's definitely deteriorating because after one kill, he is like throwing up blood or he coughs up blood.
That was...
The army guy.
Well, he was more like one of those like trained
mercenary dudes. I want to say like mercenary.
Dude,
but like he's built, obviously.
The neighborhood watch kind of. There's a name for it though. Like it's like hardcore neighborhood watch where the people are trained and they like really are cracking down on crime. He's one of those guys. He's riding the subway and then when Vinnie Jones fights him, it's like an actual fight, and he coughs up blood.
I think if the train conductor hadn't come in and shot the guy, I think Vinnie Jones definitely
would
have been.
Which was also a huge twist, because the conductor hears a ruckus,
yep,
grabs a gun. I'm like, okay, he's like, this is looking bad for Mahogany, and he shoots the guy that he's fighting with, which kind of shocked me, because doesn't he say something after that?
He says how disappointed he is in Mahogany for not killing
So
the
you
guy.
Kind of realize, that's kind of when I thought, okay, Bradley Cooper's like being, like he's going to take over for him.
Yeah.
That's when I first started thinking that, because Mahogany's like wearing out. But maybe I think now, just talking about it, I think those little polypy things are his kills, so he just has to like keep up on them. So the fact that they're all over his shoulder and he only cut off a few of them to put in jars,
we'll never know.
Read the short story and maybe that would say something.
Watching this movie made me want to read that story.
This is I love laughing at myself.
You're like, this is funny.
So Bradley Cooper is vegan.
Is he vegan or just vegetarian?
I think he's vegan.
Okay.
So that comes up kind of early on. He goes into where the restaurant his girlfriend works at, and he hands the grill cook like a big chunk of tofu and was like, cook this up for me. So they have like a little back and forth. So that's kind of when you find out that he doesn't eat meat. Well, then he's sitting with one of his friends at the diner, and his friend is eating a pretty rare steak.
I think it's Jurgis.
Jurgis, yeah. I couldn't remember his name. Jurgis is sitting there eating a steak, and Bradley Cooper reaches over and, like, eats a chunk of the steak.
It's after he's had, like, a couple more dreams.
Yeah, he's starting to, like, crack. He's had, like, all these weird dreams, and all this. Was that after the girlfriend thing?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was after the girlfriend thing, because that's kind of how it lays out in my notes. But I thought it was really gross, and I guess this is just like COVID time, but it probably would have been gross before COVID time.
No, I know what you're going to say.
He takes a chunk of meat and eats it, and then he orders his own steak, And then he reaches over with like 3 to 4 fingers and wipes the like meat juice off of his friend's plate and starts licking it.
I don't care how close I am with someone. Please don't do that. Do not wipe your fingers.
It's one thing to take a piece of food off somebody's plate. It's another thing to like, it'd be like if you wanted to try someone's soup and you're like, let me stick my hand in it.
Yeah.
That was really gross.
I didn't like that, and I totally agree with you. I think even if Mike did that, I'd be like, ugh, I don't know.
But that's when, okay, so that's when Bradley Cooper apologizes to his girlfriend for being like,
for being psycho.
Crazy. But he apologizes to her literally 50 seconds later, looks behind him, and there's Mahogany like looking in the window of the diner.
Scared the shit out of me. There are a lot of scenes in this movie that scared the shit out of me, but that one, just seeing him, like, staring at Bradley Cooper through the window, whew.
But then, okay, so then that's when he, like, chases him down, chases him, not
like
chases him.
It's like a cat and mouse game.
He follows him, but then he actually sees Mahogany, like, doing the murders.
Yeah, doing all the murders. And that's kind of when he knows. And then he's taking pictures on his camera, and that's when you get the scene where he's getting that symbol carved in his chest.
Yeah,
and
that's,
the camera is gone now.
That's what I, like, didn't really...
Was he being marked as the next one?
That kind of confused me, because... So Vinnie Jones catches him, like... Just smashes him into the wall. Bradley Cooper's unconscious. So then he wakes up. He's hanging upside down. And all these, like, demons are touching him. Like, monster hands.
Yeah.
And then he just wakes up fully dressed in the meat market. And just, like, walks out and goes home. And he is all bloody. His girlfriend's like, what the fuck is going on? You were out all night. You need to go to the hospital. And he basically is like, fuck off. And goes and just, like... goes to bed.
Yeah.
No, he goes in the bathroom and shuts the door, and he sees his chest all cut up, and then he comes out and lays down and goes to bed, because that's the night of his big show.
Yeah. Yes. So during all of this, he goes to Brooke Shields and is like, here, I have pictures, and gives the pictures to Brooke Shields, and she's like, oh my God, these are great. You're going to go on my show.
Yeah.
Yep.
His big break. Up. I did write down, so right before when Mahogany notices Bradley Cooper in the train, like, he's pulling out someone's teeth and eyeballs and, it's like, being real weird.
So gross.
I don't know why he does that.
It's so gross. That scene.
The only thing I could think is that he was pulling out teeth that maybe had metal or something in them.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. Because the eyes, I don't know either.
He doesn't do that to all of them.
No. So he's just, like, picking pieces. Well, then he realized that Bradley Cooper's in the train, and he, like, turns and, like, kind of grins. It's, I think, the only time he smiles in the whole movie, but I'm like, oh, that would be so scary.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
Oh, so then his girlfriend and friend break into Mahogany's hotel room, because that's always a great fucking idea, because they want to get the camera.
I think it is so fucked up that they were just like, yeah, we're going to go in this room. And Jurgis the entire time is like, this is a terrible idea.
But he still does it. He still goes with it.
I don't know if something happened to Greg... And you were like, I know where the guy is. Like, we need to go investigate. I don't know if I would go with you. And I'm really sorry.
Rude.
Like.
I'm not helping you save Mike then.
I don't. He's chuckling. But I don't know. Like, I feel like I just, like, wouldn't be down for that. Like, I would try to rationalize the situation. But then, I don't know, like, the cops are in on it, and at that point, the girlfriend knows that the cops are in on it, or something is fishy about this situation.
Okay, so that's the scene, because Bradley Cooper takes the gun from his girlfriend's work, and...
Maya does. No, the girlfriend does.
Maya does?
Mm-hmm. She runs in and grabs the gun, and his boss is just like, where the fuck are you going? I need your help.
Oh, then who threatens the cop?
She does.
She does. Mm-hmm. And that is when that police officer is wearing the necklace.
Yep.
So...
And this is after Jurgis goes missing in the apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. So they go and investigate, and Maya finds the... What do you call those things that have all the train times and stuff?
A schedule.
A schedule. She finds She finds the train schedules dating back to like 1900.
Yeah.
So,
but that was what. So going back, I'm gonna start saying no. I've said Brad Cooper the whole time. I can't go to Leon.
You can't all of a sudden go to Leon.
Anyway, so when he's researching, like, how many people have disappeared in the subway, he finds a newspaper article from, like, the late 1800s that talk about
a butcher
being charged for murders that, like, worked at that factory. Mm-hmm. So then when he's presenting all his craziness to his girlfriend, he's like, and read this article. And she says, this is, like, over 100 years old.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
You're cuckoo.
Yeah.
I would believe someone.
I think I would believe someone, too. And it reminded me of that X-Files episode with Toombs.
The worst and scariest X-Files episode ever.
By far. Easy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because Toombs is, like, 100 years old or something. And he comes out of hibernation or
He comes whatever. Out of hibernation every 30 years to eat livers.
Yes. And that poor police officer in that movie, or in that show, when he's reading the article about Toombs being taken in.
That scared me so bad. I was afraid of the ceiling tiles in our kitchen.
Ceiling tiles and, like, air vents and stuff. Like, it really made you think of all of the little nooks and crannies that if somebody could squeeze through anything,
yeah,
how they would get in your house.
Because what scared me about the kitchen ceiling tiles is that the cabinets, like the one of our kitchen cabinets, when you opened it, there wasn't a top to the cabinet. It went up into the ceiling tiles.
Nope. That's a Toombs nest right there.
Exactly. And then this was at Mom and Dad's house, like in their kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then down in the basement to get under the house, there were those, they were like maybe a 2x4 opening in the brick that were kind of up high,
yeah.
And then you could crawl under the house, and then there were cisterns under the house. Perfect spot for Toombs to live.
We had a pretty terrifying house growing up.
Okay, we're getting,
yeah,
we're getting sidetracked.
But
rein it in.
So Maya actually now believes Bradley Cooper. She's like, okay, no, this guy has been doing this for however long, whatever. Then she goes to the police department. And Jurgis is missing. Jurgis went missing in the apartment because Vinnie Jones murdered him.
Murdered him?
Yeah. Murdered him.
Did she get the camera out of there?
I don't think so. No.
No, because she was in the bathroom looking at those jars of like little weird things.
Jurgis had the camera.
And he had the camera and not anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay, so they... So then...
And then she goes and gets the gun, confronts the police officer. The police officer is like, well, if you want to find your friend, he's on this train after 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Kind of setting her up. Which, if you paid attention to your boyfriend, you would know that that's when all of the shit went down on the trains, is after 2 a.m.
But she, I don't think she's making
that connection.
That connection. Yet. She's just trying to find her friend.
Yeah.
And, like, she knows that, like, creepy weird shit's going on, but she isn't into it as much as Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
He's, like, on a whole nother spaced out level at this point.
Bradley Cooper went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Big time.
So then they're in the subway together.
They're in the subway.
Or she's in the subway.
She goes in, and during this time, Bradley Cooper, I think, knows that Maya is missing or something.
Oh, no, he's going to go confront Mahogany. So he goes to the, like, meat processing plant
and gets all
decked out. So he's wearing, like, a chainmail apron. He's, like, picking up all these knives, hooks, and everything.
Yeah.
So then he goes down on the subway to, like, wait. And the train goes, like, sailing by, and he sees Maya on the train. And he, like, jumps onto the moving train.
Yeah. It's like one of those scenes in every movie where just alarms go off and you see, like, the rage in someone's eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wants to save her.
Yeah. So she gets straight up attacked by Mahogany.
Yeah.
And as Mahogany is going to go down and hit her with a hammer, Bradley Cooper is just like, hey, asshole, like, I can't remember what he said.
And hey, you big jerk.
Hey, you big jerk.
Leave my girlfriend alone.
Do-do-do.
Yeah, and then they get in a big old fight.
Yeah.
Big fight.
Big fight. He throws Mahogany, like, out the train doors.
Yes, and you think that all is well.
Yeah, and I really wanted everything to be all well, and Bradley Cooper will maintain some of good.
No, but I do have, like, a theory. I'll get to it when we're, like,
yeah,
done talking
about it. Because it's wrapping up here pretty quick.
So, yeah, the train, like, starts getting into this, like, murky area. Like, it's
underneath the meatpacking plant.
No, because that's, well, no, because Bradley Cooper goes down to that, like, train platform that is under the meatpacking plant. It like, continues going past there.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of bodies hung up.
There are a bunch of
Jurgis
bodies.
Jurgis is one of them.
And he's still alive until the battle between...
Yeah, and then he gets his, like...
His guts
cut open. Yeah. So the people are hanging up, like, meat in, like, a butcher shop.
Yeah.
They get to the end of the train. It's, like, dark outside. It's more like a cave. And then the train conductor, this, like, creeped me out to the point where I actually wrote down exactly what he said.
I love it.
The train conductor, he comes back to where Bradley Cooper and his girlfriend are, and he said, please, step away from the meat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going to happen? And then these, like, demon things come in, and they kind of remind me of the thing from Jeepers Creepers.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of, like, demon-y weird, and they come in and they're, like, sniffing
the... They reminded me of the Uruk-hai or whatever from Lord of the Rings, like, when they're being born.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All covered in slime and gross.
Yeah, they're real gross.
Yeah.
So then, Bradley Cooper and his lady, they get off the train, and Mahogany's still there.
You want to hope that things just turn around for these two lovebirds, but that's not...
Well, when Mahogany shows back up, he kind of has, like, Terminator rage.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, like, one busted up eye and the side of his head's busted up, and he's, like, ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, and so Bradley Cooper and Vinnie Jones get in a huge fight, and Vinnie Jones, Mahogany, ends up getting a shin bone or something.
A bone or some...
Through his neck.
Yeah. There's bones everywhere. Yeah. It's like a...
Yeah. A boneyard. It's like a boneyard. I don't know a better way to describe it.
Yeah, a scary boneyard.
So he gets a bone shoved in his neck, and at that point, Vinnie Jones is, like, on his knees, and he looks up at Bradley Cooper, and he says, welcome.
Ooh. Yep. I didn't know that's what he said.
Which, I have something to say after all of this.
Yeah.
And then Bradley Cooper shoves a knife through his head, and Mahogany is no more.
Yeah.
Then the train conductor comes out and is like, he didn't have what it took.
Yeah.
And so then Bradley Cooper goes and tries to attack the train conductor, and the train conductor picks him up by the neck and rips his tongue out. Yeah.
Which was real gross, but not as gross as the next part.
Yeah, and so Bradley Cooper thrown on the ground.
Kind of instantly defeated. Like, yeah, he's not, like, going to go up against that guy again.
And he looks over and sees Maya on this pile of bones and bodies and whatever. And she's still alive until the train conductor goes over and rips her heart out.
Yeah.
Awful. It's so sad. I just felt horrible. Well,
they kind of, like, cheesed it up, too, because, like, she's on her back. And she, like, gets her heart ripped out, and then she, like, turns her head as she's dying and, like,
looks
at Bradley
Cooper. And I think there's, like, a close-up of, like, her ring or something. I don't know. That seems
I don't know.
Like,
her heart is still beating. And then the train conductor says something like about how this has been going on for,
like, it's bigger than you,
yeah,
type thing, and now you have to,
and now it's your job,
right?
What I kind of thought though is that, like, job, is that, like, butcher job, like, a good thing? Like, is he,
I think he, are,
is
maintains,
he, like, feeding these people to these monsters? Is that, like, preventing the monsters from, like, taking over the city and just going out and eating whatever they want?
I think that that's kind of the main point in the movie. And somebody listening to this who's a big Clive Barker fan is going to be like, no, actually, it's because of this.
Which is fine, because I would like to know, and I didn't research this. So,
yeah, so there are these monsters below the city, and they're, I think, anyway, they're trying to keep them in check. And that's what the train conductor and the police officer and Mahogany at that point had been doing.
But then, okay, so then it circles back to the first scene in the movie where the guy wakes up, sees the blood, falls in the blood, looks through the door, and he sees Bradley Cooper butchering.
And even before that scene and after the revelation of the monsters and stuff, Bradley Cooper is in the hotel room with, I think it's the hotel room, with the police officer there. And the police officer hands him the train schedule. And you don't see Bradley Cooper's face until he goes through the train car, opens up the door, and turns halfway. And
because he has the same, he has Vinnie Jones' haircut, too. Yep.
The ring, the suits, everything. So
yeah, he puts on the ring. He, like, tightens up his tie. It was a really good ending.
It was a super good ending.
I mean, I knew, obviously, when I saw someone, like, tightening their tie, putting the ring on, I knew it was going to be him.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed this movie, and I agree with you. I think the second time around was a lot better.
The first time, I was kind of annoyed that they went from, like, slasher to paranormal.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted it to just be
him feeding Vinnie cannibals Jones, or whatever.
Yeah, feeding cannibals, bashing people up, like, butchering people. And then when they tied in the, like, supernatural bit at the end, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah.
But then when I watched it again, I really liked it.
Yeah, and I think Vinnie Jones did a great job in it, as he does in most. But he is typecast.
Well, he has, like, to be. I mean,
yeah,
he's not going to be in, like, a rom-com.
That's
like
true.
Like him and Reese Witherspoon.
I would love to watch that, though. Like, I would freaking love it.
Him and Sandra Bullock.
Ooh, even better.
I wonder what kind of job he would have. Would he be,
like
the widower with, like, a really nice dog and he does, like, woodworking?
I don't know.
I just
he'd own his own botanical shop or something, like, way weird.
No, he can't. He can only play this, like, brute kind of gangster guy. Which is fine, because I like him in all the movies he's been in.
Yep. And then there were a couple things, and it was really hard trying to find, like, facts about the movie. And we were talking about this before we started recording this. I couldn't find hardly anything. So if somebody out there has
some fun facts.
Yeah, behind the scenes info, like, that would be really cool. I did find, like, the paintings in the art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are Clive Barker's.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So they tied that in, and I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
And then in Silver Linings Playbook with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper, they're walking down the street, and on the marquee, they're playing Midnight Meat Train.
Okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't really, well, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it either, but it was in the fun facts that I found. So now it makes me want to, like, maybe just watch that one part.
I'm sure you could just, like, YouTube that one clip.
Yeah. But I don't know. Do you have anything?
I told you most of my notes as we were going, because I did them in order and kind of like,
yeah,
kept up with it. It was a Lakeshore Lionsgate film, and they do a lot of scary stuff.
Anytime I see that little kid jumping off the dock, ooh, I know I'm in for
or like all something. all the gears in Lionsgate. And I remember when I was younger, Lionsgate did a lot of like cheesier horror, and now they're like, now they're classing it up. Is he waving?
Mike
something
is like opening the door, kind of. Oh, okay. Never mind. Just kidding.
He just wanted to creep. And just, like, peek one eye around the corner.
Weirdo. Yeah, I think, like, Jurgis was in the Hostel movies.
Oh, really?
One of the main guys, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, and I'm not going to watch those.
No. I watched them.
You watched them, because I remember you telling me about them, and then I said I didn't want to watch them.
You're like, nope.
No, thank you.
And then Leslie Bibb plays in Trick or Treat, which is one of my favorite scary movies.
Is she one of the werewolves?
She's right in the beginning.
Right in the beginning.
Sucker in the mouth. Right in the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
But she does play like a couple characters in a couple other scary movies, but we won't go into that now. That's for later.
Yeah, you really she plays in some movies. I think maybe
whatever.
Some of them are maybe scary.
It's fine.
So what are we doing next?
I think...
Was it mine?
It was yours.
Okay. So the next one will be Bloody Birthday.
I was going to ask you if you had still... If that was
for sure what you wanted to do. I think so, because I've watched it a couple times now and I really like it. I can maybe give you, as I'm flipping through my pages and pages of notes... Sleepaway Camp took up like half of this.
I know.
Bloody Birthday came out in 1981.
Okay.
And when I searched it, I had to search Bloody Birthday 1981, even though that's not it.
Isn't there a more recent one, too? Didn't they redo that? Or was that My Bloody Valentine or whatever that one was?
They did, like, a Bloody Valentine something. There's more than one.
Okay.
I don't know. When you search bloody, though... A lot for of films, things. There's like a gazillion that come up. So yeah, the next one will be Bloody Birthday. Came out in 1981. And
That'll be super fun.
I'll be doing the research on that. Hopefully I can find some cool shit.
I know. You do a really good job.
Well, I do a really good job because like the last one I did, Basket Case, just had so much great info.
Yeah.
So hopefully Bloody Birthday does too, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Everybody have an awesome night. When we're done.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.